And in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, and the last part of verse 37, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate couldn't believe that this man was a king. On the two occasions when he questions him about it, the word is very, very emphatic in the Greek. Art thou the king of the Jews? And then later on, verse 37. Art thou a king? I'm not used to kings like that. I'm used to politicizing. I'm used to warfare. I'm used to everything that has to do with taking power by force. You're not the sort of person I would ever associate with being a king. And yet it was clear that this good confession that according to the creed the Lord Jesus offered, he witnessed a good confession unto Pontius Pilate. Clearly, Pilate was aware that there was much more to this man, not only than his innocence, but that he could quite grasp. And it's at this confrontation about his being a king that Jesus utters these words, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth me. Even here he's seeking to awaken Pilate. Even here he's seeking to challenge him. Art thou the king of the Jews? Said Pilate. Jesus said, does this come from you? Does this come from inside you? That there is just a suspicion, just a thought, that you may really think that I am the king of the Jews? For if there had been anything, if there had just been something, a seed in the heart, Jesus would have watered it then. But arrogance had been the theme of all that had gone on. When Pilate had spoken tolerably politely to the Jewish people, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered with contempt. If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to you. Pilate is nettled. He never liked the Jews at the best of times. So when Jesus asks him nicely, do you say that I am a king because it wells up from within you? Because it's something that my Father has placed in your mind? Or did others tell you? Pilate answers scathingly and arrogantly, am I a Jew? And what the AV conceals here, thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. And the word thine own nation, the word he uses, is the word that we have from when we use the word ethnology, or ethnic, as in ethnic cleansing. It was the word that the Jews used for everybody who was not a Jew, for the Gentiles. And though it's translated nations here, on the lips of Pilate it was much worse than that. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own Gentiles and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. Thine own nation. But he uses the word that the Jews used for the heathen. They've delivered them. Delivered them. And then he says, what have you done? And Jesus takes up the theme, and you notice throughout here, he never says that he is king. But he speaks of his kingdom. In other words, here, we might even learn the most fundamental thing, that we should be guarded and careful in our speech. Even if it was a court of law, he said nothing incriminating, but the implication is there, but he doesn't say it. Jesus answered, my kingdom. Doesn't say I am a king. Of course he's implying it. But he doesn't say it. If words are going to catch us out, he doesn't say it. My kingdom is not of this world. And he says, you can see it for yourself. If my kingdom were the kingdoms that you're used to and I need subduing, or I've led an insurrection and need to be crucified and put down, then my servants would be fighting so that I wasn't delivered to the Jews who betrayed me. But my kingdom is not from this world. And Pilate is an intelligent man, but a weak man, a vacillating man. And he realizes that Jesus is getting at something that is beyond him. It's early in the morning. This is a man he's likely to see hung. He didn't usually have a conversation in that sort of a way with the criminals. And he's being dragged into something far beyond him. Pilate therefore answered him by saying, art thou a king then? Such a man as you? Not yet flogged, he was going out to be flogged in a minute or two. But such a person as they've done that. Are you a king then? And Jesus says, if you like, there are various ways we might express it in English. You've said it. I didn't say that. He's distancing himself from Pilate, very cleverly, but at the same time maintaining his kingship. Thou sayest that I am a king? Let me explain, he says. To this end was I born. And for this cause, the words to this end and for this cause are the same in the Greek. It's repeated. It's purpose. I came into this world for a purpose. Indeed, it might be better to say, to this end was I begotten. And for this cause, I actually came into the world. Now, we might speak of coming into the world, I suppose, in certain circumstances. We came into the world in the 20th century or whatever. But it really would have no other meaning than that I am born. But on the lips of Jesus, this is another matter altogether. Here is a king who existed before he was born. Here is the king who is from everlasting to everlasting. And I'm sure in the inflection of his voice, there would have been something in these words, for this cause came I into the world. I came, being born, with a mission. It didn't just happen that I woke up and realized I had certain capacities and was able to be a great general or something else like Alexander. But I came with a purpose. I was begotten for a purpose. And now I'm entering upon the fulfillment of that purpose. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So he's saying, failing a court of law, I'm not being tried properly. I will give my testimony here before you. I will bear my witness. And I will bear my witness to the truth. And then seeking to win Pilate, not over so that Jesus would be spared, but to win him for the gospel. Everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice. Now this is very penetrating. Deep down somewhere in the heart of everyone who's ever going to be saved, the Lord awakens a desire somehow after Christ. Everyone that is of the truth, everyone who the Lord has put even the slightest inkling that's going to lead to bearing fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, everyone will just hear me. They'll like something about my life, my atonement, my teaching, and so on. But we come to the actual words. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. This is what, 5 hours before he died? So his bearing witness to the truth means two things. It means the things he did during his earthly ministry and his earthly life, and it means what he is about to accomplish on the cross. That death is not going to end it. They're putting him to death. He's not going to end his kingdom. He's not going to put to naught the standards he espouses. It's going to be triumph. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Bearing witness predominantly usually means speaking. You testify in a court of law, you give the evidence. And so the Lord Jesus says, my life gives evidence of the truth. The things I teach are right, they are true, they are honest. I am genuine, I am not false. I do not exaggerate, I have not deceived, I am in no ways a liar. Truth is what I teach, and truth is what I declare. There is no other truth but in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Of course, there's too much for a short sermon. First of all, however, he is the truth. There is no truth that does not believe that God exists and created the world. For the Lord Jesus always, in all of his teaching, refers to the Father, and he refers to the books of the Old Testament, particularly Genesis, speaking of our Father which is in heaven. So he bears witness to the truth that atheism is wrong, that atheism is deceptive, that atheism leads to hell, that believing in God is the first prerequisite of any sort of understanding, not to say anything of faith, but these things you must believe. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. But he also bears witness to himself, that he is the Saviour, that there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so he teaches man about his sin. And he teaches, doubtless, as well as what we see in the scripture, that he was born of a virgin, and he was without sin, begotten of the Holy Ghost, that he might be fully God, fully man, and without sin. And that this was necessary because all men without exception have sinned. And that is the status of mankind. And so when the Lord Jesus says he's born, that he will bear witness to the truth, there is no grasping of the truth that does not understand that we are lost, dead in trespasses and sins in the sight of God. And that there is no hope for us other than the redemption that he came to accomplish. So it is truth to believe in God though he's unseen. It is truth to come to God by Christ, because as sinful men we can come in no other way. And then all his words were pure. All the words of God throughout Old and New Testaments are pure. And the Lord came to bear witness to their truth and the truth of the things he spake, being one that never man spake like this man, that I should bear witness unto the truth, so that anybody may put their utter trust in the Lord and in who he is and in what he accomplished and what he taught. With the utmost confidence, they are not being defrauded, they are not being deceived, though we do not see him. And though the things of this world seem very close and very near and very pressing upon us, yet we are not deceived. Now, I use that rule, reading the scriptures. If the Lord Jesus is happy to accept a doctrine and to quote a scripture from the Old Testament, then I take it that if it pleased Jesus and he knew it was true, that's going to be good enough for my fallen mind. What Jesus says goes. Jesus is true, genuine. Jesus speaks the truth. Jesus does not deceive. Jesus declares things as they are. But in doing so, he's not aggressive. He is gentle. He is merciful. He is meek. As God declared himself to be. When he declared to Moses that he was Jehovah, he also declared that he was the God of mercy, of loving kindness. But here is Jesus speaking to Pilate. Moments before he's condemned to the lash and to crucifixion, even though Pilate knows he's innocent. So here Jesus is challenging the representative, though he's a minor representative, is Pilate, of the world system, of the kingdoms of the world. Pilate knows he's acting dishonestly. He knows that he finds nothing in this man. I find in him no fault at all. Yet, he does not fight for him, he does not stick up for him, he allows him to be killed. And this is the world's approach, because the standards are different. It's not expedient. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Meaning, he didn't want an answer, but meaning, I believe it's expediency. I believe it's what is right for the moment. Like all politics. So Jesus is challenging that. They're going to get it wrong. They're going to put to death the king, the one who was kindest, the one who could have brought the most good into the world. And it proves that the world lieth in the wicked one, that the whole world is hostile, that the kingdoms of this world are hostile to Christ. And so he says, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." We don't know what Pilate thought, whether he dismissed it and thought no more about it. That would not be a fair reflection, because he caused it to be written on the cross, "I am the King of the Jews." He thought about it afterwards, and though it was political to do it, it made the Jews seem small. And yet he talked about the man afterwards sufficiently to have those things written. But Jesus wants us to learn that the way to enter into truth is by the atonement of Calvary, by the blood that was shed on the cross. Now, Pilate may well have thought, once the man is on the way to the cross, that's the end. His life's finished, his life's work's over. There may be a few disciples who will follow him, but their influence will be minimal. This is of no significance. Jesus sees that the cause for which he came into the world, to bear witness to the truth, is to bear witness to the truth of salvation. The only way by which we may have fellowship with the Creator, the living God, his Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit. The only way that sinful men, they can't just decide that they're going to worship God. They don't know what sort of God they want to worship. It has to be A God who is approached through his only Son, the Saviour, on the basis of being sinful and having those sins repented of and confessed and made atonement for. And then there is freedom to enter into the presence of the Most High. So he comes and says, "To this end was I born, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And the climax of his bearing witness was on Calvary. The Lord declared it by the raising of him from the dead, that this was not the end. The things he taught were true and would always be true. That everyone who trusted in the Lord Jesus would, like him, be raised up in him and through him and by him. That their sins would be viewed as being atoned for in Christ. And therefore, for the remainder of their days on earth, they will be thoroughly and utterly acceptable to a holy and righteous God. To this end was I born, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And on the cross of Calvary, contrary, across all human philosophies and contrary to the ways of men, the ways of God triumphed. He bore witness to the sinfulness of man, to the sinfulness that is in the hearts of all of us, and to the only way by which sins may be atoned for, namely through the only begotten Son of God, making atonement for those sins that are repented of and confessed to him. Blessed, he said to Thomas, a couple of chapters later, are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We may trust the Saviour utterly. We may trust the Saviour to the uttermost. We may trust the Saviour completely with this one life that we have. I'm always impressed with his dealings with Martha and with Mary. Could a man speak to those who trusted him and were so friendly with him and say that he would raise their brother from the dead, being a fraud, knowing he wouldn't do it, knowing he was having them on a string? Could such a man as that, with such friends who loved him and trusted him, handle a matter of their brother's death, knowing he was a fraud, knowing he couldn't deliver? But he did deliver. He was raised from the dead. And we may trust such a Saviour, such a Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was raised from the dead after the cross. We may trust him with our lives. We will not be deceived. We will be utterly right and accepted. We will in our conscience and heart by the Spirit know we've done right in believing and trusting and looking forward. And as we are fed day by day from his word and know that these things are transforming our soul and giving us foundation for life, we'll know these things are true. We'll know it in our heart. We won't have any doubts. For this cause was I born, and we're thinking that it's Christmas time. And for this cause, says the Lord Jesus, came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. May we hear and believe and be saved and know the triumph. The victory is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.